We're in our series, Judaism Head to Toe, and now we have to discuss a few other laws of kashrut. We're talking about the mouth. So, ordinarily, we do not put into our mouths something that isn't kosher. Meaning, you don't say, well, I'll put it in my mouth and I'll spit it out later. No, it doesn't belong in my mouth if it's not kosher. Now, what about something that's not edible? People bite their nails and swallow them. Was that kosher? I don't want to say other things that people pick and then eat. So things that aren't edible aren't food. You know, if a kid likes to eat a tissue, I used to have a kid in my class who used to eat tissues. Something wrong with him, right? Yeah. But you can't say that's not kosher, right? So it used to be that everyone understood that toothpaste is not edible. And that's why no one looked for a hechsher on toothpaste. And then, about a decade ago, some guy who was Chozer B'Tshuva started making problems in the world. He says, before I did Tshuva, I tasted, I think the ingredient was sorbitol. I don't remember, one of the ingredients in toothpaste, which is not kosher, but we always assumed it has no flavor or no positive flavor, and it has a mind of its own. And he came along and said it does. So people believed him. And so now, when I go to Chutz Lartz, I bring along from Israel, because in Israel you can get toothpaste with Hechsher. Not that I'm so convinced that what he said is real, but I have no proof otherwise. And so today, in Israel at least, it's easy to get with a Hechsher, so why not get with a Hechsher? Now, Chutz Lartz, they got all uptight based on what he said, and people are big into only using toothpaste with a Hechsher. Okay. When I was a kid, everyone was using mouthwash without a Hechsher. Rabbi Feinstein held that mouthwash, alcoholics drink mouthwash. So, yes.
Mouthwash
and
a Hechsher?
What?
Mouthwash and a Hechsher?
Yeah. Because alcoholics drink it. So
that. Why
right, it is a machloket. It is a machloket, but on Pesach we don't look for leniencies. You know, the rest of the year, where we're not looking for stringencies. On Pesach, we don't have to go with every leniency in the book. On the contrary, Pesach is different. Pesach we were always more stringent about. You see, the Torah is more stringent about chametz than other prohibitions. So, a person should not use mouthwash without hechsher on Pesach. Because it's more stringent. You're putting it in your mouth. Coming back to mouthwash. So, again, we live in Israel, so we can get mouthwash with the hechsher. If you live somewhere else, you'll check out what's accepted there and what the rabbis over there are saying. Over here, why would you buy mouthwash without a hechsher? If you can get with a hechsher, you're covered. What about medicine? So, here we enter a new realm. And that is the realm of not roi la'achila. It's not fit for human consumption most of the time. Most of the medicines we take are not fit for human consumption. So if you take a liquid, very often they'll add flavorings. But it's not really fit for human consumption. The dogs might sit there lapping it because the flavors are good. I take all our medicines and I put them on such a high shelf that even if the kids put a chair on the table, they can't reach it. Because my kids do that. I mean, my kids are, Baruch Hashem, they're energetic. We have a little one who's 2 years old who stacks up the chairs. And then he knows he can't get to the top chair, so he makes stacks different heights so he could climb up, right? So he's Baruch Hashem. So I put our medicines very high because I don't know, you know, the little ones, you can't watch them every second. But that doesn't make the medicines edible. The fact of the matter is, the flavorings give it a flavor, but it's not really edible, and the flavorings aren't really edible. It's all ways of covering up stuff that's not edible, but it's not. It's not edible. And that's why medicine doesn't need a hechsher. Any medicine, a person, so the idea is like this. When it's not edible, then it becomes a rabbinic prohibition. The rabbi said, even when something's not edible, I don't want you to eat it. It's a lo derech achila. It's not the way you eat pork, right? A gelatin capsule is not the way you eat pork. And it's not. And when a person is ill, so then the rabbi said, you're allowed to. So if a person were to tell me should I take a nutritional supplement in a gelatin capsule? So then we say, no, get a plastic capsule. Don't take a gelatin capsule, because the gelatin capsule might be a little bit, people can chew it. If it's a medicine that a person needs to take and they can only get it in a gelatin capsule, so then they can rely that it's not really edible, that it's lost its state. And that's true with almost all pills, meaning almost all medications are not edible. It's rare that you have medication today saying all the pills are ground up and then they restructure them. Where you run into problems is when you deal with alternative medicine. So then you have herbs that are edible, and you could have... I don't want to tell you, but I was in Chinatown for a number of years. You have all kinds of wonderful stuff that they use in alternative medicines, dragonfly wings, and I don't know what's edible, what's not, but it's real. I'm saying when you go to a Chinese herb shop, they have lizard's tails, they have all kinds of interesting things, and there you run into two questions. Number one is, well, maybe three questions. Number one is, are you even allowed to use that type of medication? When do you cross the line and it becomes all paganistic cult activities? Meaning, where does the fact that it's illogical become a problem on some types of medication? You know, I have a family that I'm very, very close to that the woman went into alternative medicine, she calls it, and she diagnoses people like this. She says, put out your hand, and I'm going to say the name of plants. And if your hand goes down, then as I push it down, that means this plant isn't for you. So I was there when she had just learned it, and the person she was treating said, but I never heard these names. How would my body know to react? And she goes, don't worry, the body knows to react. Now, that makes no sense. Your hand knows to react whether it'll go down or not, depending on the plant. And that's how she diagnoses and writes up the... She said, here, I'll show you something else. And she takes out a string with a metal weight on it. And she holds it and she says, I'm going to say the name of a plant. And when it turns clockwise, it means this. And when it turns counterclockwise, it means that. I said, lady, I know we've been friends for so many years. Go ask a rabbi, because I think this might be pagan. This might be a biblical prohibition, what you're doing. And I don't think she ever asked anyone. She thinks it's real. I don't know. It makes zero sense to me. I'm saying, you hold it, and whether it twirls this way or that way, depending on the plant you say, that's what's going to tell you which medication to give a person. There are things that people do that cross the line, and they become a sue just because they make no sense. What?
That's not logical.
How do you know?
Logically, I did not come to the conclusion that if it's an Alive Fox, it will help you against insomnia, or it will help you go to sleep.
Stay awake.
And if it's a dead fox, it will help you, go to bed. Kind of logical.
No idea. But join our Thursday night class on which acts are considered. We have on Thursday night a series on what's called witchcraft, what's called kishuf, what's called the different prohibitions of sorcery. We're already almost halfway done with that Siman Shulchan Aruch. Come on Thursday, we'll move forward, Bezat Shem. Coming back to here, so we said one issue we have is whether it's pagan. Is it permissible altogether? The second issue is it considered real medication? Would it allow me to take it on things that are not kosher? I mean, we said where a person's ill, so Chazal permitted him to take things that might be rabbinically prohibited, if it's no longer edible, etc., if it's not the normal way you eat it. For example, if a person on Yom Kippur has to take a pill, there are people that have high blood pressure. They have to take a pill on Yom Kippur. So there are many scenarios where it's permitted to take a pill on Yom Kippur. Now a guy walks in and says, I can't swallow pills without a drink. So is he allowed to drink water with his pill? He's allowed to take the pill. He can't drink the water on Yom Kippur. So what do? We tell him, take water and make a strong tea out of that water till it's at the point where no one would want to drink it. And then you use that liquid and drink the pill with that liquid. And then you haven't drank something that's edible on Yom Kippur. So you didn't desecrate Yom Kippur. So I purposely did not go there. When a person has a halachic question before Yom Kippur, I strongly recommend they call, because it's not as stringent as it sounds. There's definitely room for more leniency, but for that we have to discuss it. I tell people to use chamomile tea, because regular tea might be so acidic it'll destroy their stomach. They're fasting, they're on an empty stomach, they're taking a pill with the tea. So there are a lot of points to ponder on what's being taken and how. We're not going there right now. If you guys want us to take a night to discuss Yom Kippur a little bit in our halacha class, we can do that. But right now, let's move forward here. So we said we don't put into our mouth something that's not kosher. If it's toothpaste that I'm spitting out, the reason I'm allowed to do it is not because it's toothpaste, but because it's not edible. Gum needs a hechsher, because I'm chewing the flavor in the gum and swallowing it. It's true that the gum is not edible. I know people swallow it, but it's not edible. My problem is not the gum. My problem is the sugar and the flavors that go into the gum. Medicine does not need a hechsher generally, because generally medicine does not have, is not edible. Ah, what about alternative medicine? There we run into three problems. We said problem number one is make sure it's not paganistic. Make sure you're allowed to use that medication. Number two, if it's edible, then it might need a hechsher, depending on what they're giving you. What was number three? I lost my train of thought.
Right.
And it might be non-kosher ingredients, and it's edible. These are things that a person has to check out. As far as taking medication on Shabbat, so when a person feels that bad that they would lie down, they would stop their life and go lie down if it would help them feel better. It could be they're vomiting and lying down won't help them. Walking around will help them. But the level of feeling bad is such that if by lying down it would resolve their pain, they would stop their lives and go lie down, and that's called nafa lemishka. Their illness is that bad, then they're allowed to take a Tylenol. Ordinarily we don't take medications on Shabbos, but they're allowed to take that. People who take pills on a daily basis, we recommend that they take them around sunset. Most pills are best taken at the same time every day. So if you take it around sunset, then you could take it just before Shabbos on Friday afternoon, and right after Shabbos, Matzei Shabbos, and it's still usually on almost every pill that's considered taking it at the same time. That difference of 45 minutes between day one and day two is usually inconsequential. Yes? I didn't hear you. Okay, so there we'd have to figure out, you know, to each his own. You're right. Okay, what else do we need to know about non-kosher foods? So when you travel from country to country, you have to find out the norms in each country. Coca-Cola in different countries is different. Doritos chips in different countries is different. In Israel it has a hechsher, in Chutz Lartz, it doesn't. It's not the same product. You can't say, I ate M&M's in Israel, so now M&M's all over the world are kosher. I don't know. The M&M's here, even in Israel, you have to check. Some are made in Egypt. Some are made in the United States. I don't know if they're the same ingredients. Coca-Cola has different ingredients, East Coast and West Coast and China and Israel. It's not the same ingredients. I know, because Halachic Shaila came up, and we have to look into it. Yes, sir?
What are the topics in North America?
All what?
All pop drinks.
What are pop drinks?
There's a huge list.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know if it being the case there, so I certainly don't know about it here. Don't know. Okay.
I live there.
Yes, sir. What is it? Wow. Okay, thank you. I didn't know that. Help me. Okay. I hear. What? Got it. Okay, so you're saying there's mayonnaise in Denmark. Hellman's mayonnaise is milchik. It has milk ingredients. Person wants to eat his hot dog with mayonnaise, you better check the ingredients. So from country to country, things change. There are some things which are okay. Coffee. You buy 100% coffee, it doesn't need a heksher. That's what I heard from the chief rabbin. We checked this out one night here a few weeks ago, right? It says 100% coffee, so that's okay. Did he say if it was freeze-dried or only Turkish? Do you remember? He said it for Turkish. I don't know about freeze-dried. I have to check. I think it was an SMS. So I have to check. We'll check this out then. Buying a cup of coffee in a store, and this is where we'll have to pick up Bezrat Hashem next time, the whole idea of bishul, what? Bishul akum. The idea of having a non-kosher cook your food, having a non-Jew cook your food can also disqualify the food from Jewish consumption. That is where we will pick up Bezrat Hashem next time with the laws of bishul akum. Remind me tomorrow night. That is the next subject in our laws of Judaism head to toe. Yes, I think he was first. Yes.
Is the hechsher by some random chief rabbi of some random small city here liable?
Well, so there are gradations, there are levels of reliability. Our approach in Machon Meir is that when a person is chozer b'tshuva, it is difficult enough to keep kosher, and that's why a person should eat anything that has an orthodox hechsher. So long as you know it's orthodox, enjoy it. And in 10 years, we'll talk again. What?
I've been smoking for 9 years.
That is the actual answer. On a personal basis, with each person, we figure out, yes, or call in. Okay, I'm saying realistically, there's room to grow. But I would rather a person grow in other areas instead of investing their energies on only eating this hechsher. They have to invest their energies in other things. There are other things that are more important and people give them less weight, such as breaking up with the old girlfriends on Facebook, cleaning your slate of all those girls. That's more important than eating a top-notch hechsher.
Oh, I forgot to do that.
Okay? I wouldn't know. You have your Facebook set up so no one knows, right? What? Okay, I'm just saying. There are other things that are more important and they might be harder and people give them less of a grade. And that's why we say, in kashrut, you're eating kosher, make it easy for yourself. Remember also, people are traveling. You're saying you're from 9 years, but you don't have a wife, you don't have a home where you could buy your own items. It's not like you can come home and you decide which kashrut you're eating. You're eating by other people most of the time. You have to factor the life you're leading at this point. And you'll get married, you'll have your own home, you're going to decide which foods you buy. Then there's room to start thinking about moving up and saying, okay, I'm going to be more stringent in the kashrut. So I'm saying it's not only a question of how many years a person has been observant, it's also a lifestyle, you know. Yeah. But he was first, one second.
Is beer kosher all around the world?
I don't know. I doubt it.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Because,
but
like, how can you make it not kosher?
Oh, many ways.
Yeah, okay, but like normal beer. Like, it's only water in like all places.
No, there's also. There's also the question which kegs they put them in. Are those kegs previously used for wine? Some places do that. And I don't know enough about it. I'm not even talking about the chametz problem. Yes. I'm doing the calling? Okay.